Well, good morning again. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Once again, it's a privilege to be with you folks today. We always enjoy coming here. It's hard to believe this is our third and final time this year. The summer seemed to fly by, but I guess every part of the year seems to fly by. But we always enjoy being here, and we trust that the Lord will bless our time together in His Word. Truly was a wonderful time at the Lord's table this morning. And I couldn't help but think, as our brother Don was focusing in on the precious promises of God, you know, everything about the Lord is precious. But, you know, one verse popped into my head as I was sitting there, and it was John 5:24, where the Lord says, "I assuredly say unto you." Now, this little word, assuredly, it's not really a promise, but of course it reinforces that what he's going to say is true. It's kind of like when I was teaching school, when I was getting to a very important point, I would say, "Listen up. What you're going to hear is important. You're going to probably see this again sometime in the near future. Pay attention because it's important." And I couldn't help but think, you know, what the Lord was saying there. He says, "I assuredly say unto you, that he who will hear my word," that word "hear" means listen with a view of obeying my word, "and also believe him," an act of the will, "believe him," speaking of the Father who sent him. If you do that, you will have everlasting life, and you will not come into condemnation ever. For you have passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. You talk about a promise you can rejoice in. I mean, it's just one of many, many, many. And this morning we're going to be looking at the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God is extremely important. And again, I would encourage you, listen up to what not so much I have to say, but what is being said from the Word of God and passed on to you. Now, just a very brief review about this Second Thessalonians. Remember, it was primarily written shortly after the first one because a letter from a false person, teacher, sent to the dear saints said that you are now in the day of the Lord because of the great suffering that you are enduring for the Lord. And of course, they weren't in the day of the Lord. The rapture had to take place first, but here Paul now for the third time had to remind them. First of all, in his first visitation, he talked to them about these things. They should have known better. In his first epistle, he talks about these things in detail, about how the rapture takes first, and then the day of the Lord, that's something that comes later on. Well, here he is the third time dealing with that. And of course, we've done that. And we're not going to go over that again. And we're now already getting to the point where, as is always the case with Paul's through the Spirit of God's writing, and it should be true of us as well, it's time now to say to these dear saints, let's put this behind us. You have the truth. You know the truth. Now let's get back and do what you're supposed to be doing and continue to do what you were doing for the Lord. And remember again, the primary reason these dear saints were so upset is because of their suffering for the Lord. They're suffering for the Lord. So in essence, what he's still going to tell them here, well, you know, we've dealt now with this false teaching you've had. You should be assured in your mind that you still should be looking in great expectation for that blessed day when the trump of God will sound and we will go to be with the Lord. But in the meantime now, we have to get back. You have to get back doing what you were doing before you were kind of pushed aside a little bit by the evil one trying to have his influence in your lives. And get back to doing what you were doing, and that is faithfully serving the Lord. Even though, once again, in doing so, guess what they're going to experience? They're going to experience suffering. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We mentioned it several times. You've heard it many more times than the few times that I've mentioned it here. And if you've been living godly in Christ Jesus yourself, you will have experienced suffering for the Lord. If you stand up for the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, most people don't really want to hear that. They don't want to be reminded that they are sinners on their way to a Christless eternity. They don't want to hear that. And they let you know that in no uncertain terms most of the time when you witness. But praise God, there are times when we witness that the Spirit of God speaks to their hearts and people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith comes by hearing, listening with a view of obeying the Word of God. And of course, that faith is in the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were rejoicing in how precious he was to us this morning. Well, I also had reiterated in my own heart, you know, he's really precious to me too. And I'm sure that's true of you as well. So as we look at this particular third chapter, it's really a short chapter. It's broken down into three sections. We're just going to look at the first five verses this morning. And then this afternoon we'll look at the other part of the chapter. So let's just begin by reading verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3. He now says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." Paul is saying, in essence, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Again, what a testimony concerning these saints. We know that Paul and Silas and Timothy and all those that we read about who were working with Paul from time to time, how they suffered for the Lord. And he's saying to begin with, brethren, pray for us. Because you see, the same thing that you experience, we experience wherever we go. Verse 2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." Now God will bless the reading of his word. Now in this first five verses, Paul impresses upon the hearts of the saints five things concerning his service and their service. And the very fact that this is the word of God to us, we have to put the little word "our service" in there. So he's not, it's a prayer concerning, pray for me, Paul. I'll be praying for you as saints, speaking of the saints in Thessalonica. But this is the word of God to us, which never changes. So these five things are pertinent to us today. Now, we will use the situation and think about what they're going through, but I want you to be even more focused upon how do these five things pertain and reflect in your life and in my life as we are to now continue to move forward faithfully serving the Lord, knowing that if we do it faithfully, they're going to go right back enduring persecution. And we will find we will as well. Now, you can either run from that by not obeying God's word. I mean, you can avoid being persecuted. And sometimes we do a lot better job at that than we do about moving forward, regardless of the fact that we're going to be persecuted. So I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to all of our hearts. He already has mine as I went through these five things. He made me realize how important it is that these five things are true in my life if I'm going to remain faithful to him in my service for him. So the five things that we're going to be looking at this morning relates to our service for the Lord and our devotion to the Lord. And the two go hand in hand. If you are going to be devoted to the Lord, you will serve the Lord. If you're not serving the Lord, in whatever capacity He has given you the ability to serve, then you are not being devoted to the Lord. And what He's encouraging them here is you continue to do the service you've always been doing for the Lord. Be faithful in that service. But in order to do that, you're going to have to be devoted to the Lord, or it's not going to take place. So in verse 1, the first thing that comes to mind is prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. And he's praying that the word of Christ may have two or three different things here. First of all, they would have free course. Interesting little phrase. But basically it applies to authority. He's praying that the word of God would have the authority of God in Christ to be acknowledged in the submission of men to the gospel of Christ. You know, before you witness for the Lord, you had better be praying before the Lord that He will lead you to people who will be submissive to the Word of God. Now, in the process, He will. But also in that process, you will come across many who will not want anything to do with the Word of God. But that's okay. And He's going to explain why. Because you see, not all men have the faith. Have no interest in the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. So he's praying here for free course that the authority of God or Christ might be acknowledged in the submission of men to the gospel of Christ. Why do we have to pray for that? Well, the truth is you're not going to convince anybody. You don't have the power. I don't have the power to do that. I have to pray that the Lord will intervene in this and prepare the hearts to be submissive to the Word of God and the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you also pray that God will be glorified. And how will that take place? Well, Christ's power will be exhibited in them. You see, it's only as God's power and Christ's power is exhibited in you that you have any power at all. You see, to be strong in the Lord, that's what we're told to do, and the power of His might. You know, you and I as individuals are weak, feeble, and I'm talking spiritually above physically, although as we get older, we experience the physical part too. And Satan works on that. You know, it's interesting as you get older, you say, well, you know, I've done my share. I don't think I really have to carry that burden anymore. Don't you kid yourself. As long as the Lord has given us breath, we're to be servants of the Lord. And we're to depend upon the Lord. And you have to depend upon the Lord more and more in your service. But you see, it's that Christ's power will be exhibited in them. First of all, three things are brought before us here that are necessary for effective ministry and service. First of all, it's a consciousness of our personal inadequacy. You know, the problem with most of us, we think we're better than we are. We think we're stronger than we really are. You know, for me to admit that I'm inadequate, I don't like to do that. But the realization is I know I'm inadequate when it really comes to being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a mere man, a sinner. Praise God, saved by the grace of God. And when that happened, the Spirit of God came in me and gave me all the power I need for spiritual life and godly living and for serving the Lord. But you see, I have to understand, first of all, that I have to be conscious of my own inadequacy in serving the Lord. You know, they had found that out because of the persecution they were receiving and now, of course, getting this letter, which was a purge, false letter from somebody that pretended it was from Paul and it wasn't. So that shattered their faith a little bit. Was Paul changing his mind on things? Their minds were being misdirected. You see, they forgot, in essence, how inadequate they were in their service for the Lord. They weren't suffering for the Lord and seeing success because of themselves. It was because the Lord was working in their lives. And that leads us to the second thing. You see, once you realize your own personal inadequacy for serving the Lord, you learn how much you now need to depend upon the Lord and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ working in your life. And you know, I can't overemphasize that fact. Dependence upon the power of God, the power of Christ, in your serving Him, your devotion to Him. You know, Christ is everything we need. We have all kinds of songs we sing. We talk about this all the time. Oh, yes, I know my strength's in the Lord. I don't have any power. And yet when we go out and try to live for the Lord and serve the Lord, all of a sudden we get this tense feeling. Oh, I don't know if I should do that. I can do this. Well, the truth is you can't do it. But he can. You know, Paul understood that. That's why Paul is praying this on behalf of himself. He says, pray for us. You know, that we will be able to do what we're supposed to be doing. Pray for yourselves. Pray for others in relationship to this. And Paul came to the conclusion and understood that he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you think you're any better than Paul in that respect? Paul understood that he could do nothing apart from Christ. But see, once he learned to depend upon the power of Christ in his life, he wasn't afraid to step out and do anything. And as a result, he suffered consequences, obviously. But you see, he did it for the Lord and through the Lord, and the Lord gave him the power to do that. And then thirdly, dependence upon the power of prayer of others. Depend upon the power of prayer for others. You know, nothing encourages me more when I go to minister than have people say to me, Bob, I'll be praying for you. Now, this is when I'm already here. I've already done my studying. You know, I know what I want to speak on because the Lord has given me something to speak on. And I really believe it's from Him because I prayed about that and searched the Scriptures. But I also know how weak I am in the flesh and how easily I can get absorbed with myself and get away from what the Spirit of God is really trying to teach through me to you. You see, when people say, Bob, I'll be praying for you while you're up there today, I'll tell you, that makes me feel good. Because I know if you're praying for me, that the Lord will use me as an instrument. The Lord's going to be working. Now, that's been my prayer all along this past week. But you know, we have to pray for one another. And you know, as you look out at one another here, it's all of our responsibilities to serve the Lord faithfully. And we all have to depend upon the Lord faithfully to serve Him. But please pray for one another. See, we're prayer warriors together. We need one another's encouragement and prayers. And you know, if we're going to carry on, if they're going to go ahead and move forward now after this setback, and it was a big setback, what had taken place caused them to stop doing what they were doing. They thought they were already in the day of the Lord. What's the sense? They stopped. Paul now says it's time to get going again. We've dealt with this. We understand it. You understand now. You're not in the day of the Lord. We're still looking for the rapture, but we're to serve the Lord faithfully until that day comes. But he says in order to do it, Pray for us, because we have to move forward. Pray for yourself, because you have to move forward. And pray for one another. I can remember being on teams, literature crusade teams in Colombia and Belize and Grenada and these, and we were on a team. And every morning we would get together and pray together for one another. That the Lord would give us the wisdom, the guidance, the courage, the strength to do what we're supposed to do for the Lord that day, no matter what might happen. And what an encouragement. And then we would get together at the end of the day and share how the Lord had worked through us. Yes, and some of the times there were some problems that people ran into. They were rejected. Some very harshly. Some really didn't have any problems at all. But every day, sooner or later, everybody was going to suffer persecution when you're going door to door and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So prayer is one of the things that he emphasizes here as they move forward. These three things are the utmost importance for the Lord's blessing of bearing fruit to his honor and glory and our ministry and service for him, whatever it may be. It isn't just for people who speak. It's for all of us who used our spiritual gifts to reach out to people. The second thing, in verse 2, and that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Well, here you have to pray for preservation. Preservation. Pray that ye may be delivered from unreasonable, perverse, and wicked men, because you see, not all have the faith. The word for faith there is really the faith. It's the same thing that Jude writes about. We are to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. It's the whole counsel of God. And of course, as we think about this, you know, it is sad. It is a sad fact that some will never believe, no matter how clearly and loving the gospel of Christ is shared and preached. I don't know how many times we have said, I don't know, Pat and I, how come they just don't get it? Why is it? I mean, it's so simple. It's so plain. Well, we have to understand, it is a sad fact that many people we witness to will not accept the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are unreasonable and wicked men and women who have no faith because they are willfully closing their hearts and their minds to the Word of God, the faith. And you know, it's interesting. If you would just turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, or you don't have to, I can just read it to you. But there's a statement here that the Lord asked Isaiah to write, which really, if you just read this, it really is quite puzzling. It's in chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, go, and this is God speaking to Isaiah, go and tell this people. Of course, he's speaking about his people, chosen earthly people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Now you just read those two verses, and that sounds awfully harsh. It's like the Lord's closing their eyes and ears. But you know, it's interesting, the Lord interpreted this statement in Matthew's gospel. And now, just so you know, in Matthew chapter 13, which I'm also going to read to you, we have the Lord speaking about this same passage. And notice what he says here. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And you will notice if you look in the margin of your Bible, he's referring to the prophecy that I just read in Isaiah. And here's his interpretation. You know, only the Lord is able to interpret the Word of God. Now, you and I can interpret it only if we interpret it Scripture with Scripture. I don't say, well, this is my interpretation. I don't care what your interpretation is. And you shouldn't care what my interpretation is. Unless I am demonstrating from you from God's Word. This is balancing out the truth. God's Word is the only means by which we should interpret God's Word. And here we find the Lord interpreting His Word. In verses 14, and to them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. What's he saying here? People are closing their own eyes and ears to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how plain you make it, no matter how well you explain it, no matter how much you show them the actual words of God, we have to understand there are those who just willfully will not accept the truth of God's Word. So sad, but so true. And you know, and that you have to understand that as you go and witness and share the gospel, this is why you endure persecution. It's not that they don't know about these things. It's amazing. Most people in America, I know in our city, they know about these things. They've heard them over and over. Well, then why is it they don't accept it? Because they are willfully ignorant, willfully negligent. They don't want any part of it. And he says, you know, pray that the Lord will spare us from these types of people. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, it's not that you shouldn't go out and witness to them, but don't let their attitude affect your continuing to witness for Him. You know, you get 10 doors slammed in your face in a row, which has happened. Well, that gets discouraging to go to door number 11. But you know, at door number 11, all of a sudden, somebody responds. You see, what he's saying is, you have to pray for perseverance here. You have to understand that not all people are willing to listen to what you have to say. And that means listen with a view of obeying it. In fact, some of them don't want to listen to you at all. And bang, there goes the door. I can remember one young girl who got in the car or van at the end of the day and said, and she was running out. She said, boy, I had so many doors slammed in my face today. And I said to her, well, did you praise the Lord each time that happened? And she said, well, no. I said, well, I had a few doors slammed. Well, you know, not that you think that I was the perfect one. It was only a few days later. In handing out something and talking about Christ, somebody took a swing at me. And, of course, I thought, no, this is awkward. You know, I wasn't concerned about my physical well-being. I thought, but, you know, here I'm serving the Lord. I can't get into a fight and cold cock this guy. You know, I can't do that. So I get in the car and I share that. And the Lord took care of it. I just prayed, Lord, you got to take care of this. This is something I don't want to get involved in physically. And the little girl says, well, Bob, did you praise the Lord when that happened? And I had a smile because I did a little later, but at the moment I was just glad to be out of there, moving on to the next place. You see, we can't allow negative reactions from people to keep us from keeping on. And that's basically what he's referring to here in relationship to this perseverance and so forth. Another thing, it says in verse 2, all men have not the faith. Why? Because they will not listen to and take heed to God's word. In Romans 10:11, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Remember, hearing many times in scripture means listening with a view of obeying it. See, faith comes by listening with a view of obeying God's word. And of course, by listening and obeying God's word is when you obtain salvation. But unfortunately, not all men are like that. So, in spite of them, we shall earnestly defend the faith that is once and for all delivered to the saints. That should be our prayer. Lord, help me to be faithful to once and for all to share the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. That's what our responsibility is. The third thing he says to them in verse 3 is protection. See, not all are faithful, but faithful is the Lord, who will establish you, support you, and guard you from the evil one. Now here comes another thing in here that we are somewhat subconsciously aware of, but not consciously aware of. Why do you think these dear saints would suffer persecution? Why was Paul suffering persecution? Why do we suffer persecution when we're doing what the Lord asks us to do? Well, because we forget about the evil one. You know, Satan is a defeated foe, but he's a very active foe. Scripture tells us, he is roaming around as a roaring lion, seeking to devour as many as he can. And what does that mean? From keeping him from accepting, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing who he is. It's amazing. I think almost everybody in America has heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, Satan has them convinced he's not who he says he is. See, don't believe that. He's hindering people, seeking to hinder them from coming to the Lord. And you've got two things negative here going on. You have people who are willfully ignorant. They just choose to be. And then you have Satan who is now working on hearts that are kind of being swayed, trying to convince them, no, that isn't right. Don't buy into that. He isn't who he said he was. He died, but that had nothing to do with going to heaven or anything. You see, Satan is at work, and we have to understand that point. We need protection. Pray for protection from the evil one. Paul prays that they won't focus on the faithless men, but on the unfailing and never failing God. You see, our faith and trust is in the Lord. If we're relying upon the Lord to do his work through us, he will work through us. Does that mean everybody we share the gospel with is going to be saved? No. Because many are not willing. They're willfully ignorant of the truth. You know, Peter talks about that. You know, they're willfully ignorant of creation. Well, why are they willfully ignorant of creation? Because then you have to acknowledge there's a God. They're willfully ignorant of the flood. Well, why are they willfully ignorant of the flood? Because that speaks of judgment. Well, if you're not going to believe in God, you certainly don't want to believe in judgment. You see, he's convincing, and Satan is there to reinforce that. But that means you have to keep on keeping on. And that's what these dear saints had been doing so faithfully for so long. And Paul's saying is, yes, we've had a setback. It's been dealt with. It's now time to move forward. But recognize that in serving the Lord, protection is necessary. And of course, Paul focuses on faithfulness to the Lord in dealing with his blood-bought saints. And why should we focus on the faithfulness of the Lord as his blood-bought saints? Well, who gave you eternal life? He did. You see, he promised them that nothing shall pluck them out of his hand. Nothing. You're safe and secure in the Lord. You know, as you think about this, he emphasizes the importance in resting on the faithfulness of Christ and not their own strength in difficult times. Now, we don't have time to look at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 17. But I think that's something, and I find myself reading that passage quite often. Because he says in there, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then he tells us how to do that. And he says, clothe yourself in the whole armor of God. Now that's a message in itself. We're not going to go through that. But I want to reiterate, you mark down Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, and you go home and look at it today. You see, you have to understand, you not only pray for protection, you have it. You have it. If you just clothe yourself, you can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he will clothe you with the armor. And we know all but one are defensive mechanisms. You're just standing ready. You have one offensive weapon. And what is it? It's the Word of God. See, it's nothing that I'm going to say that's going to convince people. This is what's going to convince people. So when you witness for the Lord, be sure you're witnessing from his Word. It's not, I think this, I think that. Well, it doesn't matter what you think. What matters is what God's Word says. God uses the Word of God to reveal the will of God, and he will reveal the will of God to people's lives who need him. But we have to rely and depend upon him. Well, I've got a few more minutes here, so we move on to number four. So finally, mentioned there, truly the Lord protects, guards his saints from the evil one. And the point is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a nice little verse. Is it true? Is it true? Yeah, well then, wait on the Lord. Simple as that. All right, the next one is preservation. Perseverance, excuse me. In other words, we have, in verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Concerning what? That they would continue to obey God's word. You know, it's an ongoing struggle. I've gotten to know God's word quite well in studying all these years and listening to great men and women of God who know the Word and have shared it and shared experiences how the Word of God has just changed their lives. But you know, we have to understand, we have to continue to depend upon God's Word. And the idea we have here is that we have confidence that you will preserve or persevere in what you were taught, not because of their stability of character, but because of their relationship with the Lord. Now again, we don't have time this morning, but if you just would just turn back and take a look so you can find it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he specifies this in detail so beautifully from verse 2 all the way through verse 11. And what he's emphasizing there in detail is that they are to persevere in God's word because of the relationship with the Lord. Christ alone is the sufficient source of power for all his people. And may we never lose sight of that blessed truth. Anything you need in serving the Lord, in being devoted to the Lord, you can turn to the Lord with and cry out for help at any time. Any time. And unfortunately, we don't often do that. We find ourselves in a difficult situation and we say, oh, woe is me. I think maybe I better stop. Well, that's a big mistake. You're just going to miss a real blessing from the Lord. You see, we have to understand when the going gets tough, you know, we say in the world, well, the tough get going. Well, not for Christians. When the going gets tough, we turn to the Lord. There's nothing tough about us. We turn to the Lord, and the Lord will take care of those particular things. You see, Christ alone is the sufficient source of power for all his people. It's not just a selected few. He's the source of power for all of his people. And what a mighty power he is. He's the Lord God Almighty. Nothing is too hard for him. Yes, he's even strong enough to help you through your fears, your anxiety, your cowardness in being a servant of his and being devoted to him. So when opportunities present themselves, don't back off because you don't know how you're going to deal with it. Just say, Lord, here's an opportunity. Give me the words. Give me the strength. Give me the power, your power, to do what I know I should do in this situation. And then you leave the results with the Lord. He's in control of it all. In this note, again in verse 3, it says, God will keep or guard you. In verse 4, now you keep and guard God's word. 1 Peter 1:5, same thought. We're kept by the power of God. That's his part. Through faith and faithfulness to him, that's our part. You see, it's a two-way street. God is willing to go to work on our behalf. But we have to be willing to let God to work on our behalf. And the final thing we have, and that will just set time for the fifth one here, is in order to serve and be devoted to the Lord, you need patience. You need patience. And the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and in the patience of Christ. Now here it seems to express the desire that the Lord might remove anything which would interfere with their hearts' affections being centered into the love of the God and the patience of the Christ. A paraphrase of this particular verse might go something like this. The Lord teach and enable you to love as God loves and to be patient as Christ is patient. Now I think there's three possible interpretations of both of those phrases. First, into the love of God. You see, that they may learn to love God. Now, we talk a lot about how we love the Lord. But you know, our love for the Lord is so feeble and weak. You know, we rejoice this morning at the Lord's table about his great love for us. There's no question about his great love for us. The question comes is, do we really love him? Do we really love him? You know, as this is a personal example, if somebody was going to attack my wife, you can rest assured I would do everything in my power to keep that from happening. Because I love her. Does the Lord love you? You bet he does. There's nothing he wouldn't do for you. But you really love the Lord. You love him enough to put yourself out in step in front and say, Lord, in your power, your might, help me move forward in my service and devotion for you. That they might apprehend the love of God. Just how much God really does love us. Yeah, we know he loved us enough to die on Calvary's cross. And that's ultimately the greatest example. But he loves me every day. Every day. It never stops. And we can't even comprehend the love of God that is ours through Christ Jesus. But we have to learn to apprehend just how much God loves us. And thirdly, it could be translated, they might love each other and all mankind after the pattern of his love. You see, if I already have the love for the world out here that the Lord has for the world out here, remember Christ Jesus, John 3:16, we all quote it all the time, God so loved the world, all mankind, even these wicked, sinful people, which we all are. He loves them. And he gave his only begotten son. You know, as you think about this, this is the type of love we should have for one another, which is easy to do at some degree in the Lord, those of us who are in the Lord. Well, I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. That doesn't mean we're all perfect, but there's just that bond. But then it comes to the world, and it's almost like, well, they're our enemy. Well, in one sense, they are. But they're an enemy of Christ as well. And if I love the Lord, knowing how much he loves me and how much he loves the world, shouldn't I be out there confronting the world with the love that Christ has for them? I've experienced it. Don't you want them to experience it as well? And then you have the phrase in Jude 24, keep yourselves in the love of God. Constantly enjoy the realization of God's love for you. And then into the patience of Christ. I've got to wrap it up here. We'll do that with these three little possible interpretations. What does it mean into the patience of Christ? Well, the patient waiting for Christ. And of course, they had to be taught that. Live in expectation of his return. We know where to do that. I'm not so sure we're very faithfully doing it, but that is one aspect of the patience of waiting for Christ. Secondly, that they might be patient in their sufferings as Christ was in his. You know, you look back in Scripture, what he suffered. Well, it wasn't just the cross. That was the ultimate. He suffered from the moment he practically came onto the face of this earth. And when you read about his sufferings in the epistle, in the Gospels, well, he was patient. I never read about him complaining, turning away from things. He was patient in his suffering. We should be patient in our suffering for Christ. And finally, since Christ is expecting and waiting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet, we should also be that patient. Yes, I know the Lord is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high today, and rightfully so, because the work of redemption is done. But see, it isn't finished yet. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And he's patiently waiting for that. We should be patient in that way as well. If our Lord can be patient in waiting for that blessed day, can't we? Well, our time is gone. You see, as you think about these things, Hebrews 10:13 points out that so they might be patient also in their hope of God's triumph and their deliverance. You know, someday it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. See one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. And what's the last word or verse in that song? So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Yes, he's given them what we would call a pep talk. It's time to get back and serve the Lord and be devoted to the Lord the way you were before you let this little bump in the road set you aside. The message for us is to do the same. It's time to keep moving forward in our service and our devotion to the Lord, no matter what. We will be with the Lord someday. It will be worth it all. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and dear Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you again for your beloved Son and our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your word, and we just trust that the word today has been an encouragement to our hearts, as I'm sure it was an encouragement to the saints in Thessalonica, that they are to serve thee. They are to be devoted to thee, knowing how much you love and care, not only for us, your servants, but for this world, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Just give us a real zeal and a desire to be servants who are devoted to thee, and recognize that we are only as strong as to the degree we allow you to be Lord and Master in our lives. We ask now that you'll bless our time of fellowship together downstairs. We thank you for the food that has been provided. Pray that you will bless it to our bodies and just use it for thy name's honor and glory. And then bless the meeting that follows and the men that go to the jail. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.